when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Truckers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trucker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Here, Blood River Radio family, without any wasting any more time, we're going to get right back to the precious sailors, our dear brothers. We all owe them a great deal. We can never repay all the hell that they went through. I know I'm not going to name any names, but I know there's been marriages have been destroyed, minds have been destroyed, bodies have been destroyed. I mean, it's bad enough war, you know, any kind of war. It's horrible. You have no idea. But to be trapped on a ship and be attacked by a vicious enemy, with their sole intent is to kill you, and it's being done for the approval of your government. I mean, that's, to me, I'll never get over that. And I'd like to make another quick statement here before we go back to this. Ask the sailors some questions. Here's good old Admiral Thomas Moore. We've mentioned him. You know, he was the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's as high a military as you can get. You don't get any higher than that. I mean, that's he was the head honcho, and he is the one that was, I think, was responsible for getting this this report together with these other military officers that I remarked upon, these other admirals and a Marine general. I'd like to let you know this is a legit report, and I like this. This came off the report. It said, we mentioned that the Israelis machine gunned the life rafts that were in the water. They also, not only that wasn't good enough, but they machine gunned the Liberty's firefighters and stretcher bearers when they're on deck. These guys are trying to put out the ship, trying to get wounded military guys, sailors and Marines on these rafts, and they were machine gunned, and they're probably cut with glass and shrapnel, and I think even napalm. Well, we talked about their napalm, that was for sure, but I know Bob was on the two decks below. Before I go to these questions, Larry, did you ever make it up to deck when the machine gunning of the stretcher bearers was going on?
Pretty much after the attack, I was outside catching some fresh air because we had we lost our postal clerk, John Spicer, and I'd been giving him some mouth-to-mouth to try to keep him alive, but it was futile. So I went outside, and I was detailed back to the fantail to pick up the phone talker responsibilities. I was back there. I mean, I could see the damage that was done, and I could see the torpedo boats at that time were back on the horizon. And then I saw the wakes of those three torpedo boats, you know, coming towards us again. And I reported it to the bridge and, you know, figured this was it. They were going to torpedo us again. And we couldn't have sustained another torpedo. It would have sunk us for sure.
I would ask, was the engine out by then? But I don't want to waste too much time. You know, that is incredible. And before I go to this next thing, I keep wanting to ask other stuff. I'm sure there was shrapnel all over the deck. I guess a lot of you sailors probably got cut to ribbons waiting in that shrapnel, flying shrapnel. That's just incredible. But, you know, we were talking about the flags earlier. I believe the flags were shot to pieces, and I do know this, and I'll go back to Bob. Bob, it's my understanding that the Israelis, somehow they knew where every critical piece of equipment, every wire was that you guys use for communications in order, the stuff you would have to get out an international a call for assistance. And the Israelis shot those up too, didn't they?
Well, from my understanding is that the on their first pass, they used heat-seeking missiles. So when the tuners on the antenna are active, they put out heat. They create heat. Oh. So that they knew enough about the ship to use heat-seeking missiles that would go straight to those tuners and take them out. So the one thing was that there was one tuner that was out of service, and a brave guy that got a Silver Star and deserved a lot more was Terry Halbardier, who grabbed a piece of cable and went from the radio shack across to that one tuner that was not operating, and he took a cable and attached it to that antenna that was still operable, and got it cranked up so that the Radio Shack was able to get out an SOS.
That guy had some smarts. He really did. I know this is off, but what was his rating? Was he Spec 4, Spec 6?
He was an E. Yeah, I don't know what his rank was. Do you know, Larry?
Yeah, he was an electronics technician third class, so it was an E4.
Okay. And just think, an E4, that'd be equivalent to a corporal in the Army. The guy, can you imagine knowing that? They would have been, y'all have been out of luck if you'd been dependent on me or most Army guys I know to be able to know how to do that. But how did y'all finally get so that by this this fellow, by hooking that cable up to the tuner, was that the way you were able to get out the signals to the world of what was going on?
Yes, sir.
Why not,
Bob?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay. By the I'll tell you what. Go back to Larry. Larry, you know, we mentioned this Spec 4. Guy, E4 rating, equivalent to a corporal rating in the Army. By him springing that cable up to the disabled tuner, was that the only device? Was that the only way you had to get communications out? And did anybody put up any other type of antennas? In other words, how did you get the communications up after the communications capabilities were shot to pieces by the heat-seeking missiles?
Well, like Bob said, our Radio Shack was able, you know, because that coax cable that Terry hooked up gave them the power to transmit out the SOS, and all the other antennas that had been operable earlier had been shot up with rockets and 50 caliber machine guns, and so it was. It was the only way we had of getting out, and the USS Saratoga picked up the distress signal and launched aircraft to come to our aid, along with the USS America. And McNamara got on the horn and recalled those planes. So they reconfigured their aircraft and launched another set of aircraft. And once again, McNamara got on the horn and said that he, wanted those planes on the deck. Admiral Geis, who was commander of the Sixth Fleet at the time, said, I want it from higher authority. And that's when Lyndon Johnson got on and says, I don't care if ship and everyone on board goes to the bottom of the Mediterranean, I'm not going to embarrass an ally. And for me, I still wonder how he knew that the, you know, Israelis were the ones that were doing the attacking, because we hadn't said that in our communications, and we hadn't seen the torpedo boats up close enough to be able to call and say, hey, it's Israel that's doing the attacking. So those communications had to come, you know, somewhere. And either that or Johnson knew in advance what was going on.
Exactly. Another thing, and this is just me guessing, the very fact that Israel knew to use the heat-seeking missiles, and this is really insignificant because we all know that the Israelis knew, without a shadow of doubt, that was the ship, the American ship. But the fact, the way they disabled the communication devices, it looks to me like they would have to known enough about that ship to know where these tuners were and this other equipment. So if they knew that much about the ship, it's just an old Army guy, it seems to stand to reason they would have known that was an American ship. But I have heard that too, what you said, Larry, and it said he wanted it in rougher language than what you said. But how long after? Well, let me go to this other question. Now, also, is it true that there was a Russian submarine had been tracking you guys, following you guys? Guys, we got to go to another commercial. We'll be right back, folks, at this commercial.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Well, dear precious Blood River Radio family, this will be our last segment today with Bob and Larry from the United States Ship Liberty, but we're going to bring them on next week. If they can do it, if they can hold on, hopefully Gene Andrews will be on next week. We'll probably bring them on an hour later that way because Gene has had trouble getting in today. I thought originally Gene Andrews was supposed to be here, but he's a Vietnam veteran. He was a lieutenant in the Marine Corps. And he was love to talk to these guys, you know, Marines and sailors. They're Marine, in case you unmilitary people don't know, the Marines are a department of the Navy, so they're brothers, you know. But anyway, Larry, tell us what you wanted to say. Tell the listeners what you said you were going to say when we were during the break. Go ahead, Bob. Excuse me. Go ahead, Bob.
Me? I was just going to tell you what happened. Bob. After I left the Liberty, I was sent back to Norfolk. And when I got back to Norfolk, I was issued orders. I got 14 days leave to go home and sent straight to Bremerhaven, Germany for the rest of my enlistment. I ended up being up in Germany for a couple of years until my enlistment was up, 2.5 years, I think, to be exact. And I was sent to New York, discharged, and sent back home to Cincinnati.
So what was it like being there in Bremerhaven?
Well, when I got, I loved Bremerhaven. Actually, it's a beautiful city. But the interesting thing was, is we were told as soon as I got there to take those ship's patches off your jacket and off your shoulders and keep your mouth shut about the USS Liberty. And that's what I was told when I got there.
That is amazing. But anything else you'd like to say about that before we go to Larry, Bob? I got a question.
No.
All right. This is a two-part question. What would happen, in your opinion, Bob, and I'll go to Larry, then we'll get Larry gets his closing statement. What would happen to Admiral Geis had he told LBJ to stick it? And he ordered the jets. If I'm not mistaken, Admiral Geis, I think he was the head honcho over the carrier task force. Is that right? The America and the Saratoga?
Yeah,
that's correct. Yeah.
All right. Had he had told McNamara and LBJ to stick it, that I'm going to save my sailors, and if you interfere, I'm going to go to every news outlet in the entire world. What do you think would have happened there, Larry and Bob? Well, I'll go to you first, Bob. What would have happened there to him? And what would happen to you if you'd have told those people, you stick it, I'm going to wear my patches on my shoulder patches from USS Liberty. I earned them. It'll come down, by God, when the flag comes down off of the Capitol, when the flag comes down off of Iwo Jima. What would have happened to that admiral? Do you think he would have survived it? Or do you think the news media could have survived? I know this is a wild question, and I know you don't have a crystal ball. If he could have gone to the news media and told him exactly what happened, what do you think would have happened?
Well, excuse me. I was interviewed by the Cincinnati Inquirer when I got back, and it was funny that they said, well, in order to – I know we have the interview, and we tried to get clearance, but the Navy would not give us clearance to print it. So that's one thing that happened. So, Larry, I don't know if you have similar.
I actually had two representatives from New York State come to our cottage and wanted to do an interview with me, but you know, being a CT, I knew I couldn't talk about it. And we'd been sworn, you know, that if we said anything, we'd be in prison or fined or both. You know, they didn't stay long. They just wondered, you know, asked me how I was. And, of course, I had shrapnel wounds. But other than that, you know, that interview didn't go at all. And I think if Admiral Geis had told McNamara and Johnson to stick it, he would have been reprimanded, probably lost a star, and probably ushered out of the Navy. That's my opinion.
I'm just wondering if the American people are so dead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Bob. I wonder, and I'll ask you this question. Do you think the American people, their spirit is, they're so dead, especially, and I hope you guys aren't Southern Baptists. I'm a recovering Baptist. Even the church, I consider the church in America the worst enemy right now because they're what they call Judeo-Christian, and they, you know, nothing Israel could do. I think they could even drop a nuke on Washington, D.C., and they would excuse them because they were Israel. But do you think the American people, and this is the weird questions, I guess, would have enough spirit to have responded and come to the Admiral Geis's rescue, the news media, or do you think the news media is so bought off and so controlled by the Israelis, the Jews, the Jews, we got to say it like it is, they can totally control the news media and the news apparatus. For instance, a couple of guys in, we have this Eugene Rostow, a good Jew. He was the third in command in the State Department, and he repeatedly shared secrets about military stuff and with Israel. Abe Fortas, a Tennessee. I live in Tennessee. A Tennessee guy. In fact, I think he was even a Memphis guy. Abe Fortas, a Supreme Court justice. He was complicit in helping to give secrets to Israel and to suppress the truth, what happened to the Liberty. Also, an Arthur Goldberg, an ambassador to the United States, many others. Abe Feinberg, a big Democratic fundraiser. They helped shut the news media down. Since we're almost running out of time, Larry, do you think if Admiral Geis had acted and had showed both balls of the wall, full speed ahead, and told him to stick it, do you think the American, they've got the American people got the story, and the reason I'm getting to this point, to make a point, is if they would do anything then, will they do anything now with our continuing effort to expose this story? It may be too broad a question, but what would the news media done, and how would the American people's response been to that story breaking with Admiral Geis? Would he have been put in prison, or would he be hailed as a hero and asked and demanded to run for president, something like that? What's your opinion, Larry, about the American people?
I don't think that if Admiral Geis had come to our rescue and kept his planes in the air, I mean, we know that they would have been there in time to prevent the torpedo attack. But, so it would have saved, 25 lives at least. But the American people wouldn't get the story straight because Johnson and McNamara were putting a lid on it. I mean, the cover-up started immediately. And, that might be something you can talk about in our next segment. But
yes,
the admiral would have been penalized in some way, and I don't think the American public could have done anything, to support him that would have changed what Johnson and McNamara handed out.
I think I agree. See, I've almost lost faith in the American people because I've been doing this quite a while, and it just, and I'm not trying to be negative because I will never stop fighting. But I'm getting kind of down on the American people. Bob, why don't you take us out? We've got about a minute left. Give us your final comments about what we just talked about, or anything else you'd like to talk about until we bring y'all on next week.
Well, I like Larry just said, I feel pretty sure that there is not anything Israel can do, pretty much get away with pretty much anything in this country and be supported. We give them $3.8 billion a year, I think. And and that could be a drop in the bucket. We have no idea how much money they actually get. So with that kind of pull, there's, just about everybody in Congress has their hand in the air for Israel.
God bless you. And I'll get this in quick. I think the biggest point of the story is that proved that December is, well, I'm running out of time. Folks, we got to go back to a break. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Bob, for coming on. We'll get you next week, guys.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Jerry Barmash. The debt ceiling limit is officially the law. President Biden on Saturday signed the bill that was rushed through Congress this week to avoid default.
Passing this budget agreement was critical. The stakes could not have been higher. If we had failed to reach an agreement on the budget, there were extreme voices threatening to take America for the first time in our 247-year history into default on our national debt.
The bill expands work requirements for certain federal programs and terminates the suspension of federal student loan payments, among other provisions. India is in mourning after a devastating train crash.
Three trains collided in eastern India, resulting in nearly 300 deaths and over 1,000 injuries. The incident occurred early Friday when a passenger train derailed and hit two other trains. This is one of the deadliest train accidents in the history of that country. Authorities anticipate the death toll will rise since many passengers remain trapped in the wreckage. I'm John Schaefer.
Former President Trump says he's, quote, at least as innocent as his former vice president after Pence was cleared of charges related to classified documents at his home. Public drag shows in Tennessee won't be banned after all following a ruling by a federal judge. On Friday, U.S. District Judge Thomas Parker overturned the law that was signed in March by Governor Bill Lee. Parker wrote in his decision that the law was, quote, unconstitutionally vague and substantially overbroad. The Republican National Committee will reportedly set stricter standards for presidential candidates to qualify for the party's first presidential debate. According to the Washington Post, the RNC will require presidential candidates to garner 40,000 individual campaign donors and support of at least 1% of voters in multiple national polls. The first debate with Fox News in Milwaukee is scheduled for August. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, Sister Nancy's going to be with us, and hopefully we can pick up Brother Gene, the bitter ender, at the bottom of this hour. But I'd just like to, before we leave the Liberty for this for today, I'd just like to remark this, and I said this last time. I think probably the most poignant point of the story about what happened to USS Liberty, I think that showed definitively that the Jews, Israel, whatever you want to say, I think it proved for them and let them know, just like Larry Bowen said, like Bob Scarborough said, there's nothing they could do. There's nothing a Jew could do / Israel could do to the United States to stir up reprisals from the United States government, soluble to Potomac, Washington, D.C. There's nothing. I don't think. Honest to God, I'm not exaggerating. I do think they could napalm Washington, D.C. I think they could napalm the citizens there, the government, napalm the Pentagon. Hell, they've already taken down the Twin Towers. They took down Oklahoma City. That's who did it. We all know it. Just say it. You know, I think they could do any damn thing. I'm not sitting here. I believe they could napalm the whole damn capital of Washington, D.C. and get by with it. Because, after all, they're God's chosen people. You know, we got to stand by Israel. Anyway, so much for that. We're bringing on Big Sister Nancy Hitt. She has a full bore of stuff to talk about. And if unless I miss my guess, she probably may start off tar and feathering. But anyway, how are you doing tonight, Sister Nancy?
Just fine, little Eddie. Just fine. When I listen to the sailors and the thing that, again, we go back to the fact this was not only an inside job, it was very well known, apparently, by our own political cronies. They obviously knew it was Israel before they were even told it was Israel. This, in other words, it looks like maybe it was done with a U.S. Involvement so that we would attack Egypt. Who knows? Maybe we wanted
That's
to
the
attack
scuttlebutt.
Egypt. We want to attack every daggone Middle Eastern country in the world. Why not? I mean, it sounds to me like the U.S. government was also involved in this Israeli attack.
Of course, and, you know, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you're right. I believe it was either Russian general or Russian admiral. He's the one came out, and they knew because they got their intelligence that United States bombers were loaded with nukes. They were going to drop nuclear bombs on Cairo because if they were doing this. This is what we've done this program quite a while. They were going to sink the USS Liberty, and once they got it to the bottom, no one knew the story because they destroyed the communications, the tuners on the ship. But little did they know, this E4 strung up this combo wire, or whatever it was, and they got mm-hmm. They got the story out. Also, there was a Russian submarine who knew the story. The Russian submarine was trailing the Liberty the whole time. That's what they do, and the Russian submarine called the Sixth Fleet. What was his name? I know McCain was I think the head honcho of the Sixth Fleet, but there was another admiral. I can't think of his name right now. But he said, "Hey, you have sailors in the water here, man. We can pick them up. We're rescuing for them." And they told the Russians to kiss off. They would take care of their own sailors, but they stayed there for a day or so. And so that's what happened. So they see the Russians do about it. And the Russians said that they were getting ready to nuke Cairo. And what they wanted to do, they wanted to sink the USS Liberty and blame it on Egypt. That way they could get the Jews, a.k.a. Israel, could get the United States into yet another war for Israel. And that's what they wanted to do. They weren't going to spend any of their damn blood. They wanted to bring American boys in there and get their tails shot off, get their legs blown off.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you go back and
that's exactly what happened.
An SOS. If all they're sending is just an SOS, you know, stating that the boat ship is going down, and they don't indicate who's being bombed, or maybe they don't know who was bombing them or attacking them, then how did the government, how did the admirals and the people who were giving directions, how did they know it was Israel? This all sounds very much like an American involvement with Israel, that all we wanted to do. Allow Israel to kill our men so we can attack Egypt. I mean, that's again what it certainly sounds like, and I'm sure this has been covered before. But back to tar and feathering. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, Rear Admiral Thomas Brooks, at the time of the Liberty attack, he was the former director of United States Naval Intelligence. He said the same thing. He said that I put words in his mouth, maybe. It was an inside job. Our government knew all about it. I mentioned this Eugene Rostow, another good Jew. He was third in command in the State Department. Abe Fortas, another good Jew. I think he even graduated from Southside High School mm-hmm. here in Memphis. And we had Arthur Goldberg, another good Jew, authors to U.S. People like other rich, very rich Jews like Abe Feinberg. He was a huge, huge Democratic fundraiser, contributed millions to the Democratic Party. They all knew, I mean, just like Jonathan Pollard, the most dangerous spy in American history was a damn Jew working for Naval Intelligence. And cause God only knows how many Americans, people in American intelligence to be assassinated and killed because he ratted on them. And he was flown to Israel under Trump's watch, this billionaire Jew, what was the Jew's name? He was one of the big financiers for not only Hillary Clinton, but also Donald Trump. He flew him on his plane to Israel. And this, keep in mind, this is a guy, a convicted, he should have been, the law said he should have been executed and killed. But he was flown to Israel, treated as a hero. But anyway, I'll get off of that because I know you've got other stuff we need to do. But there's plenty we'll do when the sailors come on next week. You're welcome to come back with us. But go ahead, sister. Who are we going to tar and feather?
Okay. I've got someone to tar and feather this week. It would be the U.S. Representative from Florida, Jewess Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I saw her recently on television, and she was talking about something that maybe we missed last month. Last month, May, was Jewish American Month. I mean, I don't know how many days and months are going to be allocated to the Holocaust, to the Jews, but there's not going to be anything allocated to us Goyim. Back in February, it was Black History Month. May was Jewish American Month. And June, we're celebrating right now, is Pride Month. And we can thank Clinton for designating this Pride Month. And we can also thank Biden for allowing U.S. embassies and consulates across the world to fly the Pride Month, the Pride flag, all over the world and show how absolutely depraved America is. I will have to say this about Trump. Trump did not allow that to happen. Yeah, they probably were flying the Pride flag in this country, but he would not allow the embassies overseas and the consulates to fly the Pride flag along with the American flag, but Biden just okayed that. Biden and Blinken. And those are a couple of things we can talk about. Today actually is Jefferson Davis's birthday, and it was Monica Schaefer's daughter's birthday. So this is June the 3rd. Okay.
Wow. Also, it's the 40th anniversary of the Gordon Call murder. I think I mentioned that on the first hour.
And that poor man is still in prison. The son is still in prison. Yuri. And
yeah,
he'll never get out.
Many
years ago. No. No.
Bless your heart. I wish we had time. I got another letter. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, sister.
Well, I was just going to say that I found out also something I think that's kind of interesting. When we talk about the Jew scoundrel Jeffrey Epstein, of course, he was probably, my opinion, he was working for the Jewish Mossad. That's how he came about all of his money, blackmailing people. But he must have blackmailed some of his own Jews. But what is very interesting was that Biden's CIA chief was visiting with Epstein at least three times. And he's now our current CIA chief.
We have to go to a quick break. Be right back. We need to revisit that point. Hold on, folks.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth. to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Here at Blood River Radio family, we're right back with Sister Nancy. We're going to go back to her. I'm just going to mention I got another letter from Tony Dupree from the Gulf Correctional Institution in Wachahatchee, Florida, looks like. And I can't read. It's not really radio material, I think. Maybe I'll get a chance before too long. It's not real long. I think he's trying to sell some land or something, probably try to get some money while he's in prison. But I know Sister Nancy knows him. But that's just an aside. I'm going to go right back to you where you was, Nancy, before we, Sister Nancy, before we took the break. But and I was going to ask you something. Well, my mind slips me. But go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Well, I've got a couple like of rabbit trails, I guess. I've got several different issues here, but this is just, I thought it was so peculiar that with reference to Jeffrey Epstein, this country is only worried about Prince Andrew in another country, not worried about the cronies here that have been involved with Jeffrey Epstein, even involving Trump and Clinton and all of these other people that were pretty well documented. No, we have to go and try to track down a European prince and say that he was involved in rape or whatever, but we're not in the least bit worried about our own people who were participating within these escapades with Jeffrey Epstein. In fact, right now, Biden's head CIA chief, William Burns, apparently visited three times with Epstein. Now, what is he doing with Epstein? And in 2014, he met three times with Epstein and probably some of the young girls. Then he was the Secretary of State. Now he is Biden's CIA chief. Then you got the Jew Larry Summers. He's the former Secretary of Treasury under Obama. No, I'm sorry, former Secretary of Treasury and Obama's chief economic advisor. He met dozens of times with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, some of these people were meeting with Jeffrey Epstein after he'd been convicted of having sex with a minor, but they're still continued to meet with him. Of course, you know, anybody can read between the lines that Epstein was using these people to take photographs and videos of them to blackmail them. But we don't worry about bringing them up on charges like we did with Prince Andrew. I just think it's hypocritical, again, of our government to why don't we pin something on some of these people? Apparently, they were participating in the same activities that Prince Andrew was. This is another jump to something else. I see that Tara Reid, who was sexually accosted by our current corrupt president, Joe Biden, and she's talked about it in the past. I do believe she probably was telling the truth. It wasn't actually a rape. It was something that happened right in the building there. I guess he was trying to take advantage of her. And she even reported it to her mother, and of course, I'm sure that She probably gave up whatever job she had working in the office there with Biden. But she wants to go to Russia, I think out of fear. I think she is fearful. They probably want to assassinate her because now there's so many facts coming about this, from coming out about this corrupt Biden family, that she's probably fears for her life, but she wants to go to Russia. And what I think, this is a typical story that you get now. I watch News Nation. It's supposed to be neutral. Well, it's really not neutral. So they got a Jew lawyer, Dan Abrams. He's been around for years on other programs. And he's talking about Tara Reid wanting to go and move to Russia. You know, here's what he's telling the people who are watching this television program. She must have always been a Russian spy. There you go. That's what they're telling us. She was probably always a Russian spy, and now she wants to go because she likes Putin. I mean, this is what the media, the left and controlled, liberal, Jew-controlled media, that is their answer for someone who's fearful as a whistleblower, wants to tell something, another fact about the criminal cabal that runs this country, that she is actually afraid, so she wants to go and move to Russia. No, she has always probably been a Russian spy. So there you are. Those are a couple topics. I don't know.
Maybe
we're just being
maybe she's the spy that
led down the garden path.
Maybe she's the spy that busted Joe Biden out for forcing his daughter to take showers with him. Maybe she's the one that discovered that. Who knows? Maybe that's why they're after her. You know, that's just what those clowns do. But but the fact she wants to go to Russia, that should tell people. What it tells me is, Russia, and we said this on this program before, it's probably the last Christian nation on earth. The United States most certainly is not Christian, and it's not white anymore. I doubt seriously if we have, you know, you have all these statistics, how many Christians there are, and they can tell them how many whites are. Oh, we're only 53%. I doubt if we're over 40% white people in this country right here. And if maybe she wants to go to Russia because Russia is a Christian nation. They've had a mass revival going on for years since Putin's been in there. You can say what you want to about him. He's had thousands of churches rebuilt and put in. He's a self-professing Christian. He said it himself numerous times. There's been newspaper articles in the America Free Press and all the other one that Don Wassel runs. Putin put out the statement. He said that the West, especially led by the United States, he said, had gone full-blown satanic and full-blown homosexual, perverted, you know, hence the term the globo homo, you know. And you mentioned all these flags, these faggot flags flying at the embassies all over the world. And they're flying all over the whole world. And I may be going down a rabbit trail, but that just seems, I have such a hard time grasping that. Young people can maybe think it's always been that way, but you and I both come from a time, and you don't have to be that old, to when being outed as a queer, as a lesbian or a homosexual, that was like a death sentence to your career. And you would just be embarrassed to the no end. It used to be considered a shame. And now, you've talked about it, Rand's talked about it, what we have here is we have a global homo right here led by the Jews in the United States, because the Jews control the media, they control the Hollywood, the movies, all the entertainment. It's fact. It's total fact. That's what the Goyim Defense League puts out, all these flyers. They name the names. But what you got is, and we talked about this, I think you and I talked about this, Nancy, you have a satanic, perverted sex death cult led in the United States by, they're led by their father, Satan, the father of the devil, the Jews, the devil's officer corps, fighting, trying to start the last war against Russia. This may be a little bit of a trap, but this is true. I'm going to try to link this together.
Oh, sure.
There was a Confederate general. I'm sorry he was Confederate. He must have been a Yankee. His General Albert Pike. I think he was born in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Right, right. Yeah.
And he wrote a book called Morals and Dogma. I bet you know what I'm talking about. Morals and Dogma. That is the Bible. That's the King James Version Bible, so to speak. That Morals and Dogma is to the Freemasons, the Jewish Freemasons, what the King James Bible is to the once Baptist church. And not anymore, because we can't, you know, can't talk about Jews, can't talk about queers. But what you have is, and repeating myself, we have a satanic sex death cult West, Britain, France, Germany, United States, led by the United States, Canada, attacking Russia because they want to wipe out those Christians. They won't let queers sodomize their little boys and little girls. So that's the big thing. And like Rand said, he said he never thought that the tipping point that would bring the world into an atomic, all-out atomic war would be over perverted sex. And that's what you have. And I don't blame that little girl for wanting to go to Russia. I would love to go myself, but I would love to go and fight for the Russian brothers and sisters. That's what I'd like to do. But back to you, Sister Nancy. I think I hogged up that segment a little bit too much.
I think that as the way things are going right now, things that we're learning from what's going on in this war with Ukraine, it looks to me like Ukraine is now trying to attack Russia, and I think this is a tipping point for us to be totally involved, because you know we're involved anyway in this war because we're supplying all the weapons. But I was going to give people just a list. I looked this up. All of the months that are dedicated to various heritage groups. And you're going to notice something when I read this list. January is not designated. February is African American History Month. March is National Women's History Month. And April is National Deaf History Month, and Biden also allocated April the 16th through the 23rd as a week of days of remembrance of the victims of the Holocaust. May is Asian Pacific, Older Americans, and Jewish American Heritage. June is Gay Lesbian Pride. July and August got nothing right now. September, National Hispanic Heritage Month. October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month, National Italian American Heritage Month. November is National American Indian Heritage Month, and December is not designated, but it contains celebratory days. Now, Eddie, what is left out? There is a couple of months that don't have any particular designation. Can you tell me what has been left out of these monthly celebrations?
I don't have a clue. I really don't. Could it be white, straight Christians, heterosexual Christians, or just white people in general? When are we going to have a month to honor Satan? You know, you're absolutely right.
That'll probably crop up. Yeah, that'll be something on their agenda. But the thing of it is, when you look back at how America was settled, the large percentage of the settlement was really by Germans, especially in my area. And Louisville was heavily settled by Germans. Yeah, well, I'm sure there were English, there were a lot of British, of course. But, you know, they've got not one single solitary mention of Germans. Even the Scotch, Irish, English, they're not going to get any honor either. So we're being, again, you know, we're shown the door. Can you imagine if there was a day dedicated to Southerners?
My God. Man, they would never stand. They would do away with it. Well, Sister Nancy had the music. I guess we're going to try to bring on the Bitter Ender. Hopefully he's home by now from the forest home. People, hold on your seat. We're transitioning to the third hour. We'll be right back.